our housing justice director, working with the developers, the Carney Group. Michelle, take it over. Come on in the middle so that...
Where's the best place to stand?
Right there.
Do we have a copy of this presentation?
No, not yet. It'll be sent out tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, there it is, right there.
Yeah.
Let me remind you, documents that we're not voting on do not have to appear a day...
No, I just don't know if we have one.
Got it.
Because I tried to review it.
Oh, okay.
No, tomorrow we'll be sending you all the materials, but just tonight we're here to present. So hello, everybody. So we are so excited to present to you our housing development proposal. As you know, we have been in this process for over a year. We had our affordable housing development plan, which identified sites that the city owns that we could use for housing development, and identified what type of affordability we need, how many units, and all the types of things we want to see out of that development. And we said it last year that we weren't going to just sit on the shelf. And so we acted on it. We have been seeking developers. We had quite a long wish list of the things we want to see on these developments. Everything that's really thinking about both getting a mix of incomes from our helping our lowest income levels get housing, but also our moderate income levels. We know that's missing in the city. And thinking about how these units can be scattered at different sites so they blend in more with the existing character of the city and that they help residents access different neighborhoods. So Carney and Hudson River Housing are the development team of the proposal we selected. We've called up other cities where they've worked and they've come with really great recommendations. So I'm really excited to have them here with us this evening. They're going to present a little bit about the proposal, and then I'll tell you a little bit about next steps, and we'll send all the materials over for you to look at tomorrow. So I'm going to invite Sean and Christian to come up and hand the floor over to them.
Are you here to be?
Yes. Perfect.
So, good evening, President Pietro, members of the council. My name is Sean Carney from Carney Realty Development Group, or Carney Group. Thank you for having us. Here with Christian Donahoe from Carney Group as well. So I want to just give you a little background on us, the Carney Group and Hudson River Housing. Give you go over kind of the goals of the RFP. As the city put out seeking affordable housing development, and then our proposal, and then go into timeline and steps. So Carney Group is a family-owned and operated business that has been in business for over 30 years. We're fully integrated, which means we perform real estate development, general contracting, and property management services. We manage over $450 million worth of development throughout New York State, and a vast majority of that has been affordable mixed-income communities. And we currently manage over 1,600 affordable and mixed-income apartments. Hudson River Housing, our partner, is a 501c3 nonprofit. In addition to, been in business over 40 years, in addition to real estate development and property management, they provide a myriad of services to the communities in which they work, resident services, homeownership training, community engagement, just to name a few. So in looking at the project goals of the RFP, which disappeared, and those circles aren't there. We've broken down the project goals of the RFP. Just very quickly, high level, the city was looking to create high quality affordable housing. Not just low income housing, but affordable housing at multiple income levels, serving households from 30% all the way above 110% or 100% of Columbia County's area median income. It was looking to do so in a sustainable way, utilizing green building techniques and reducing reliance on automobiles. And lastly, he's looking to find ways to provide economic benefits to low-income households and job creation. So we grouped those goals into three pots, so to speak, when formulating our response. The city was looking for affordability, design and sustainability, and economic opportunities. So our proposal started with Rossman Avenue, which is a small site, and we proposed two affordable homeownership units. But each of those homeownership units, which are affordable, the households are earning up to 80%. Each one has an affordable rental within that unit. So the first-time home buyer or low-income home buyer would then become a landlord to an affordable rental in a mother-daughter upstairs, downstairs. And that rental income helps to offset their mortgage payment. This model we're working on down in Westchester County as part of the Westchester County Housing Summit. And the homeowners, the prospective homeowners, would benefit from our partnership with Husband for Housing. They have a homeownership training center where they work with first-time and low-income housing, low-income home owners and home buyers. So the second site is Mill Street, which has some challenges with water courses and floodplains, but we're able to use this site to try to expand some of the outdoor amenities. So in addition to creating 60 mixed-income apartments, we've incorporated a community garden, plenty of outdoor shaded space. We've extended the bike path to the Empire State Trail. We've included a bike repair station, rain gardens as part of the stormwater management practice, indoor and outdoor bike storage. And this building will be completely electric, not relying on fossil fuel. It'll utilize geothermal heating as well as rooftop solar. And finally, State Street, which may have disappeared as well, there we go, is a mixed-use and mixed-income building. So being so close to the commercial core of Hudson, we thought it was appropriate to incorporate any commercial uses that we envisioned into this site. So in addition to 21 mixed-income units, residential units, we have two commercial spaces. One we propose to be the home of an affordable daycare, where the daycare would not only provide affordable rents rates to our low-income tenants, but the larger community. And they have a training program that trains new employees to be more than just daycare staff, but to be an educator. In addition, State Street would also utilize geothermal, rooftop solar, NYSERDA compliant, LEED certified, as well as Mill Street. It'll extend bike paths on and off site. It'll have indoor, outdoor bike storage as well.
So where on State is this?
At the corner of 4th and State.
4th.
The northeast corner.
Sorry?
The northeast
Thanks.
Corner.
Just
I'm sorry, the northwest corner.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just looking for street.
Just so you know, we've done this before. We skipped these, so we'll go through them quickly. This is a development we've done in the city of Kingsville on Main Street, Lawrence on Main. It's 75 mixed income units, ranging from 50% AMI to 110% AMI, as well as four commercial storefronts on Main Street. And then the middle storefront is actually our lobby that we may look like a storefront and acts as a gallery for our residents. Queen City Lost is its sister project on Main Street in Poughkeepsie, 70 mixed income units from 50% to 100% AMI, as well as commercial. Queen City Lost is a city-owned brownfield site. What I love about Queen City Lost is it sparked over $2 million of private investment just from small businesses in our retail. We have a brewery, a gym, and a meadery. It's Tummy Wine, but they invested to private funds over $2 million. And it may not seem like a lot, but this block of Poughkeepsie haven't seen that kind of private investment in well over a decade. And West End Lofts in the city of Beacon, right next to City Hall, is 95 units of mixed income, again, from 50% area median income, 60, 70% up to 110%. No mixed use, solely residential. And finally, our most recent project in the city of Poughkeepsie, most recently completed project, Cornell Square, which is 75 units, mixed income again, from serving households, earning 50% all the way up to 110%. So in looking back at the project goals, the RFP goals, and how we shaped our response around that, so for the affordability, we're providing long-term affordability through a 50-year regulatory agreement. We're providing it through numerous income levels, starting at 30%, going up in 10% increments, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, and 110% increments. So we're providing affordable housing for 9 different income brackets. And we're providing affordable home ownership options as well as affordable rental. When you look at design and sustainability, we're going to be LEED certified. We're compliant with NYSERDA new construction program. We're going to be utilizing renewables with geothermal and rooftop solar. We've kept our design consistent with the community character and the built environment. And we built local community spaces where there'd be gathering points and placement. On State Street, we have a rooftop terrace and an outdoor pavilion. And on Mill Street, we built these outdoor green spaces. As far as economic opportunities, so not only will we have economic opportunities with the daycare to provide on-site training for their employees, but we are going to implement a workforce development plan, which is a component of our general contracting firm whenever we go to a community. So it has to do with marketing, on-site workshops and seminars, creating a referral list. Not only do we hire local, but then we create a referral list with any of our subcontractors. And it brings people on site from the local community to see what their abilities are, what our needs are, matching with our subs, matching with our needs. And it creates a very good, not only stream of communication, but an ongoing list and a referral network. What I'm most excited about, proud of, I guess, is our internship program. So this is a program we've had for well over a decade. And whenever we go to a community, we look to take one or two, in this case two, individuals from the local community and give them a paid internship with our company for all three branches. And it's more than just a paycheck. We bring them down to our main office and we teach them the ins and outs of real estate development, from how to do funding sources, operating budget, development budget, looking at term sheets of the bank, figuring out architect site plans. And we bring them on the GC side. We show them how to schedule, how to run a job, not just sweep a floor, but how to run a big job, and then the property management side. So it's very successful, I'm proud of it, and we've committed to two interns as part of this development program. And then timeline and next steps.
Sorry, before you go to timeline, can you go back to that slide?
Sure.
The workforce development, can you talk a little bit more detail about the workforce development plan?
How about we let him do the presentation, then we save the questions all at the end.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sure. So looking at the proposed timeline, if we were to have site control in fall of this year, we could be in the ground with construction in fall of 23, with occupancy in the spring of 24. So we have about an 18-month construction period. Our project relies on funding from New York State, which is very competitive, at least the rental side. The home ownership is less competitive and can go on a quicker time frame, but the rental aspect is highly competitive funding that comes out. Right now it's twice a year, so we'd be gearing up to apply in the spring.
So the contract is for all three parties?
It's for the longest lead items, which is Mill and State. The home ownership could be quicker.
I thought we were going to let him finish his presentation first. Are you almost done?
I'm done.
Oh, there we go. Margaret, you're first.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to hear a little bit more detail about the workforce development plan. I'm not quite sure I understood. Does this mean that you're bringing people in who would actually be working on the project, like in construction or something? Do you use local folks to work?
Yeah, so our workforce development plan is just on the construction side.
Right.
And it's spelled out in the RFP response a little bit, probably more eloquently than I can. but it has to do with advertising locally. Then we have workshops on site where anyone that's interested, we bring them in, we interview them, we pre-screen them, see what their capabilities are, if they're more office-related, field-related, and then we see what our needs are, we hire who we can, and any other eligible applicants, we then keep that log and refer them to our subs who work throughout the Hudson Valley and we've worked with them for 10 years.
So it's an opportunity for somebody who's trying to get into this kind of work who maybe doesn't have previous experience, but
I think it's a great
opportunity.
Theo, did you have a question?
No, it's been clarified.
Okay. I thought Arsh had some comment.
The three varying projects, those all execute parallel?
So Mill Street and State Street would be tied. Approvals, local approvals, they could be on different timelines, but funding-wise, they would be tied. And then the affordable home ownership, the funding is much less competitive, so it has nothing to do with that.
Cool. Thank you.
Vicki, you had a question?
Yes, it seems to me a very interesting plan, and I think you analyzed all the sides, many sides of the issue. Keep in mind it's a historic city, so it's actually decided to be pleasing. I want to ask you, are you looking for pilots?
Right, the same question.
We would be looking for a pilot, but before you throw me out, so our model for the rentals, at least, for the Mill Street and State Street, mm-hmm. Our model, affordable rental, is governed under New York State Tax Code Section 581, mm-hmm. which means if we build a $15 million project, but its rents are $300 a month, we can't be assessed at $15 million. Right. So it's a specific tax law that's made for these regulated rental housing projects, and it looks at your income as opposed to it bases your assessment based on your actual income as opposed to normal assessment. So what we try to do is get as close as possible to that 581A payment and codify that in an agreement. It has a negative connotation when you say pilot, but we just look at finding what that dollar amount would be, and then fixing it in an agreement, because then that makes our application much stronger to the state. It makes our investors comfortable because they know the city of Hudson's not going to get a new assessor next year that isn't familiar with 581A and wants $700,000 in taxes and our property's underwater. So it helps. It's very helpful. Seeking funding, and then it's difficult to attract investors unless you have investors for the tax credits, which we get.
I will add that we did include the assessor and treasurer in this process as well.
Margaret, you had another question?
Yeah, is that the methodology that's not the same as a pilot, definitely? Is that methodology detailed out in the response to the applicant?
Probably not. But I'd be happy to send back up about 581.
Yeah, documents, but I would like to hear more. I'd like to know more about that. But.
Sure.
Michelle can speak to that.
We have that. We have a proposal.
Can you speak up a little?
Sure. So I can send that to you tomorrow, both draft of the pilot, and then also, like the mayor said, we met with Cheryl, our assessor, and she thinks this is a smooth.
You met with whom?
Cheryl, our assessor. And she thinks it's a smooth way to move forward, and the treasurer, and they all think that this is both easy for us to implement, like the city already knows how to do this type of process, it's not going to be extra work, and it also financially is beneficial to us. So I'm happy to send all that on.
Yeah, I'd like the description of the methodology and the response to the
question.
Amber.
So with Mill Street, I know there's been things brought up over the years of soil contamination. Was that something that was brought up through the funding process?
Yes, I'm one of the first things we'll do is survey, and then phase one. And phase one will say if we need to do a phase two, and then we do a phase two. The previous projects that I kind of blew through very quickly, I think there's four of them, three of those were brownfields. And we went through New York State DEC's brownfield cleanup program. were under construction on, no, just Crane was the last one. So we're about to break ground on another brownfield right now going through that program. So we're very familiar with it. It doesn't necessarily scare us away. We're in an odd world where sometimes if there's contamination, it can actually help because we're fluent in that process. We know how to get a project property registered in the brownfield cleanup program, and I can bring in brownfield experts, which helps to kind of close our funding. So it's not, it's, we didn't anticipate it, but if it comes up, we can handle it.
And we start with Rob Perry too. All this makes sense that going through that process would work with the soil, and also we discussed the, you know, the Mill Street floods, and so that's something that they thought about very thoughtfully in the proposal about, you know, raising the elevation to the 500 year floodplain level and looking at other types of innovative infrastructure on the site that can, like, both help the site itself and also help the surrounding houses with flooding.
I know Foster's was down there a few years, and when they left, they kind of just left with the refrigerator down there, so that's
no. It's not where Foster's was.
Yeah, it's a different site.
Got the wrong site.
Just a reminder for folks on Zoom are having a hard time hearing, so do speak out and towards the owl. Thank you.
Thank you. Dominic.
I just had two questions, Sean. So in terms of, you said something about automobile induction, explain that one, and also with the homeowner comportion with the rental, you know, thinking ahead in terms of parents and grandparents, is it going to be one level in thinking of seniors that might be, you know, family members that be utilizing that rental unit in terms of stairs and things like that?
So the home ownership unit is two levels because the site's on a pretty steep grade. So from Van Wick, it's two stories. And from Rossman, it's three stories, almost like a reverse walkout basement. So from Rossman, if you walk in, that's the affordable rental. If you go to Van Wick, that would be the two-story homeownership unit. It's like a walkout basement, except instead of a walkout basement, it's a finished apartment, if that makes sense. So there'd be stairs in the homeownership, no stairs in the rental.
Right, it's the end basement level.
Lower level. And first question, automobiles. So we include in all of our developments indoor, outdoor bike storage. Here we've included bike repair stations. We try when we can to tie to bike networks, bike path networks. And I guess specifically here, we look to reduce parking as much as practically possible. The most recent project we did in Poughkeepsie was 75 units, ground square, 75 units, 30 parking spaces. In the first, you know, we lose a lot of potential tenants who, for one bedroom, want two cars, and that's okay, there's other options for them, but we attract a certain tenant that knows that they're moving to an area with limited parking, they're not going to have a reserved parking space. So they either move in with a car and or two cars and slowly phase it out over time, or move somewhere else.
So you could provide, you're going to provide a parking garage underneath?
No, there's no parking garage.
They're saying it's hard to hear, so if it's okay with the council, can he approach a little closer?
Sure.
So I was saying we try to design, is this okay? We try to design with less parking. And say force because it's not force, but we were very open in our marketing and lease up. So when people move here, they know that there's not designated parking assigned to them. And it either only attracts people who want to not rely on automobiles or people who then adapt to use their own wheel bus.
So the State Street building, would it have parking or not?
It would.
Yeah.
Would it be
One at a time. Go on.
It might be a dozen to 20 parking spaces for 20 minutes, plus maybe we can reconfigure the street for someone's street parking.
Anyone else on the council?
Is currently the only access to that Mill Street location is the second street, right? Is there the plan to keep it that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Heather, you have a question? Heather, our city treasurer.
Hi, not a question. I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things that the housing director and the mayor said. When it comes to a pilot, I just want people to understand that this isn't necessarily a pilot for which they apply. This is something that's called private housing finance law. It's written into the state legislature, and the city had an opportunity to opt out of it back, I don't know when, maybe the 80s, well before any of our times. So I just want you guys to, number one, understand that that is how that works. And the second thing, to reiterate what the housing director said, is we do actually have currently a number of pilots under the same private housing finance law that have been in place for a number of years. And Michelle and I sat and we looked at the terms of the old ones versus the new ones, and I personally felt that they were in alignment. So I just wanted to share those two pieces of information.
Thank you, Heather. That's very helpful. Since there are no other council questions, I see one member of the public. Please speak loudly if you can.
Yes. Would this construction involve the demolition of any inhabited buildings?
Nope. It's all on empty space.
Yes.
All on empty space?
Empty lots, yes.
And that's the first question. The second question is, how does the Mill Street proposal interact with proposals that have been made for Charles William Park?
Michelle? So I can answer that we've been in conversation with folks. Those plans are going through the mayor's office, and also we mentioned Maya and the Spark of Hudson. And so we've been keeping them in the loop, and we think this is actually a really cool opportunity to, like, they can cope some of the flood mitigation components can really dovetail and strengthen the area. And we're really thinking about how the two can relate.
I see. Okay, yeah. So it's like they're together. That one will not encroach on the other. They will.
Yeah. No. See, they're being done under separate timelines and separate leadership, but we're all talking to each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions from the public? I don't see any online. Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Carney.
Thanks for having me.
And Michelle, you want to wrap this section up?
So I will follow up by sending all of you the presentation, the RFP, the draft pilot and contract with the developer for you to look at, as well as kind of like a guiding document to help you through all of that. So you have some time to look through all of that. And feel free to reach out any questions for me or for the developers. And the goal would be to move forward on looking at voting on some of these projects in October, because if we're able to give that site control to the developer, they're able to apply for that spring financing,
right,
which helps us with the construction being sooner.
Yeah, sure. Margaret?
Yeah. So this question is probably for you, Heather. As you're describing this methodology of doing assessment, tying it to how you are renting, how you're renting that, so that you're not getting assessed at market rate, where you could get $4,000 a month instead of renting something for $1,500, whatever, you're going to be assessed on the value that you're placing on the rent. That methodology to me does not sound at all like a pilot. It's a different methodology. That's why I want to see what that's about.
Yes, it's very different from the IDA type of pilot.
Sorry?
It's very different from an IDA type of pilot.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And I do understand what you're saying, Mr. Carney, about how to an investor, where you have insecurity about how the assessment will go on over time, so long as it is linking it to the actual revenue that you're getting from doing the rentals. There's a logic to that. So that's why I'm interested in seeing the actual methodologies for that. And I can follow up with Heather, since she has researched some of the other pilots, the so-called pilots, under this law. But yeah, I just want to understand the message.
Sure. Yeah, happy to share that. And then you know, if you want, and once we connect them with the developer, we can have more conversations and have their
response. I honestly can barely hear you, so don't worry about it. Just send me.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Wonderful. Okay, before we start our resolutions, I have one quick announcement, courtesy of Rob Perry. After 40 days, water is flowing over the spillway at the dam. The reservoir is at full capacity again. So all you people are worried about our water supply. Okay. Let's start with the resolutions. Shaheen, please. First resolution. These are the ones we started with last week. The always controversial appointment of deeds. A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution is in support of the application to Round 6 of the Restore New York Communities Initiative for the Crescent Building Redevelopment Project.
I had a question about this.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was not able to come to the meeting.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
Didn't have a radio. I know that this was presented to the Historic Preservation. There was a presentation. And I looked and I tried to find information about it. It looks really interesting to me, but is there some way that we can get the presentation that was done?
Sure. I'll make sure you get it.
Yeah, we can look at that. Because I don't really have. And the other question I have is where this is to support
that's
their
right.
application.
There's
no commitment from us on the finances.
It's
right?
Just showing we support the application.
Okay, thank you.
A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Michael, you're voting, Sammy? What?
No.
What?
Sorry?
No, Michael, what?
So I wrote this resolution. There is part of the resolution is to approve and set the date for a public hearing.
Ah, yes.
Which currently in the resolution conflicts with a planning board meeting that has been moved to the same date and time. So I would just ask if the council would consider rescheduling that public hearing for not the 29th, but potentially the 30th or
sure.
whatever you decide. So
we can leave that open.
Yeah.
Back to voting.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye. And Margaret, the lead on the project, by the way, is Chris Perry, who's sitting right there, if you'd like to meet him at some time and discuss it further.
Good luck, Chris.
Thank you.
Great project. And I'd say that even if you weren't my friend. The next resolution is accepting senior center donations. A roll call vote, please. You can leave that open.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President
DiPietro. Aye.
Carried.
Next resolution is approving the Tourism and Events Committee grant to Hudson Halloween. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, our new resolutions, of which we seem to have 11. The first, courtesy, I believe, of the mayoral aide, is a resolution designating the second Monday of October as Indigenous Peoples Day. Can I have an introduction? Amber, Arthur, second. Discussion? None? Okay, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descaludi.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Maroney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Presidente Pietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes the approval of our MOA with the Civil Service Employees Association. Can I have an introduction, please? Ryan, a second. Amber, any discussion? A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony?
Aye.
Despalutti?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Presidente Pietro?
Aye.
Carried.
Let's see, the next resolution authorizes a loan from the general fund to the capital fund for a sewer engineering planning project. It's just a loan. Is that an introduction? A second, please. Arthur? Any questions?
First introduction was
Ryan.
Yeah, I don't really understand this. I mean, this, if somebody could just walk us through what this is.
Heather, you want to, I know it's not necessarily yours, but it.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you.
So, New York awarded us I can't remember what all those letters are for, but it's, I think, something water, something revolving fund. Anyway, it is for planning future sewer building developments. It is actually a 100% reimbursable project, so there's actually no cost to the city for this one. Even more unusual for grants, not only do we not have to match it, they actually gave us $50,000 of it up front, which is one of the first times I've seen that happen. So the only thing right now is that we need to make sure we have enough cash appropriated legally in order to enter into a contract with the person, you know, the vendor that will do the study. So this basically says that we are going to loan, the general fund is going to loan $50,000 to the capital fund, which is where this project is going to live. And when we get the reimbursement of the second $50,000, that money will come into the city and it will be used to repay the loan back to general.
And yeah, that's what I thought it meant. I wanted to be sure, because that's where it says that you will ensure that the general fund is paid back by the capital fund once the funding is received, right? But I got that right. Okay, yep. That was my note.
Yes.
Thank you.
At any given time, we often have a couple $1 million in interfund loans,
right,
and keep track of them all. It's quite important, obviously.
Yes.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Despalutti.
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Presidente Pietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes the mayor to execute a contract amendment for additional professional architectural engineering services related to the City Hall accessibility upgrades and a budget amendment to fund the updated cost. Now, the updated cost is the $7,000 plus, Heather?
Correct, $77.58.
Right. Any questions? Oh, an introduction, please.
Okay.
Arthur, second. Go on. Barring any questions, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Anthony?
Aye.
Despalutti?
Aye.
Frick?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Moranti?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarr?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Presidente Pietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes a budget amendment to cover school taxes paid on a property acquired through foreclosure. An introduction, please. Well, let's introduce the second group. Arthur, Ryan. Question, Theo.
Yeah, what happens, does the city then sell the property at profit, and then that goes into the general fund? Where,
correct.
Basically, where the profits go from
general fund.
General fund, okay.
Unless we designate it for something else. I mean, we could always We could put it in a non-binding capital fund. I mean, but generally, we just put it in general. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descalute.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes transfer of funds for the purchase of a replacement laptop for the treasurer's office. Ryan, second. Dewan was there first. I think this is pretty obvious.
The only comment is finally.
Yeah, right. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descalute.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes a budget amendment to cover the fuel and light expenses for the fire department. Ryan, second. Arthur, any questions?
No, the only question I have is just given the expected increase in overall gas and electric costs for the winter, do we have anything left over in the ARPA funds that maybe we can cover that temporarily, or is this going to be something we should expect to...
We'll probably have to budget for this because we've this whole city light... contract has been a burden and a confusion, and so yeah.
Okay.
That's
what
roll call vote, please.
May I
oh, go ahead, Heather, please. Oh, I didn't see your hand.
So
sorry.
This is probably not going to be the first time you see one of these. Have a handful of. Council people that were here a year ago will remember that we went through this last year. It's a little complicated to explain, and I'm happy to try and do it in more detail off the record, but this is less to do with the increase in fuel rates, although that is also a valid thing that should be looked at. This has everything to do with the fact that the city entered into an agreement with a solar company with the agreement, and it's basically one of those ones you see all over the place where it's like, you pay the bill, they earn credits, they apply the credits against your bill, they charge you for 90% of the credits they give you, so theoretically you save 10%. You do. The issue is timing. The problem is that with the timing that they started applying credits to the various City of Hudson utility accounts, we ended up with significantly more credits than we could use up in any given, in a calendar window of time. So I will give you an example. Last year, we had to amend almost every utility budget because there was not enough money in the budget to cover the cost, because while we get the credit on the national grid bills for electricity, we still have to, whether or not those credits are used in full or not, we still have to pay this organization, which is called Common Energy, the 90% of the credits they provide. To give you perspective, right now, the DPW building accounts alone, which are most of them, but does not include youth, does not include fire, which is why you're seeing this one, does not include
police.
Code enforcement at this point, although I think their future leases are covered under their rental agreement. We are literally sitting right now on $102,000 of utility credits in National Grid. When this happened last year, we were in about the same position, and it took us until basically April or May of the following year before we used all those credits up. So, what's going to happen eventually, this is a 10-year agreement, and let's say in theory we do not renew this agreement, the way we're actually going to recognize the savings is in the very last year, when we start the year, you know, the last year with roughly $100,000 in credits, but we're not going to have to pay the Common Energy bills anymore because we're no longer receiving credits from them. We will suddenly start having, we will have this huge amount of credit in National Grid that will go against our electric bills across all of our buildings for probably 4 or 5 months. That is when we're going to actually see the saving. But in the interim, we're constantly playing catch up because we have more credits in a fiscal year than we can use. So there's a very good chance you're going to see other resolutions before the end of the year to address that. We were not able to do that in the 2022 budget because this did not all come to light until basically December of 2021, and by then the 2022 budget had already been set. I fully expect that we will take this into consideration for the 2023 budget. But yeah, it's just their schedule, them providing credits and our ability to use them up works conceptually as long as you're not working in a fiscal year that differs from where their ebb and flow are in terms of their credits. So highly annoying, and I'm not sure it's worth the savings given how much time you spent researching this over the past year and a half. But
yep.
It is funny.
Thank you, Heather. A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vescaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution, excuse me, is a budget transfer and amendment to fund the CSEA contract agreement. Excuse me, can I have an introduction, please? And a second. Amber, thank you.
Introduction, please.
Ryan. So, any questions?
So these increases are based upon the new
Correct.
Contract.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
And some of it...
Say that again.
They're based on the contract we approved. And some of it was planned for.
Excuse me?
Some of it was put in a contingency budget, knowing
right,
that we were
right.
going into the,
yes.
okay, to the contract. A roll call vote, please, Heather.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vescaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution authorizes a transfer of funds within DPW, water, sewer, and cemetery. An introduction, please. Ryan. Amber, second. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vescaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Roney?
Aye.
Sarar?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro?
Aye.
Carried.
The next, resolution authorizes a budget amendment for the purchase of 5 iPad devices to be used by common council members. Introduction.
I'll introduce.
Arthur? Second? Dewan? Any questions?
How much gigabytes can we have those? What was that? How many gigabytes?
64.
So, $1,200, that's what?
That's for 5 iPads?
Just
plus. A little.
That's a great deal.
Are they used?
No. They're, so, through the gracious help of Tracy, we were able to reactivate our Apple government ID situation so we get discounted pricing through Apple. To fund government purchasing. Well, not to fund, but to purchase through the Apple government store.
Is this the first
of it? $1,200 for 5 iPad. I was kind of shocked.
Okay. Are you on 6 now?
So is this the first official act of the tech committee?
This is the first official act of paperless health systems.
Ah, thank you. Good to know. Okay, roll call vote, please.
Penny.
What?
Penny.
Somebody say something?
Somebody's a penny.
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vescaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
The next resolution is to adopt our time and attendance policy and procedure, which you all have seen. Introductions. Introduction? Arthur, second? Go on. Questions? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Our last resolution is a sidewalk easement for 508-510 State Street. The owner of the building wants to expand his steps to better suit the building. And as there's very little precedent for doing this, we came up with what we thought was a fair fee of $500. First of all, can I have an introduction? Arthur, second. Someone. Go on. And that's what this would allow him build his steps, which have been approved by the Historic Preservation, I recall.
Can I ask
you? Sure.
So this is for the entrance of the 6 units?
The front of the building? No, just for the front of the building to give him a little bit of extra steps.
But the actual building has 6 units and a house in the back?
Something like that, yeah. Yeah.
In Crystal's email earlier today,
yeah.
It was indicated that currently it's not in compliance with code, but
yeah.
this change in the steps would
be right
into compliance with code.
Right.
Wasn't it also like dangerous right now?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's no steps right now.
Oh, so it's dangerous.
Well, it's being renovated right now. So. Only if you walk there, Arthur. Can I have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, moving along to the laws that we've discussed in the past. We are now voting, and as you recall, all of these will have to have a public hearing, so this doesn't end here. The first local law amends the city code and charge to remove references to a city planning commission. Can I have a motion and an introduction? Ryan, a second? Arthur? To approve the proposed local law, a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye. Excuse me, aye. The next local law, which also came from the city attorney, amends the city charter to add certain officers to the list of public officers and for other purposes. May I have an introduction and a second, please? Someone. Arthur, second. Amber. Any questions? Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye. Once again, the next local law, which I believe all of these went through the legal committee too, amends the city charter to expand residency requirements for legal advisor and to clarify the status of attorneys who are not public officers. Can I have an introduction? Ryan, a second. Arthur, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Vascoluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Sarar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye. The next law amends the city charter to set forth the duties of the city legal advisor and retained counsel. Can I have an introduction? Arthur, second? Dewan? Oh, was that a head up? Yeah, sorry, he beat you to it. A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descalutti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye. And the last of the laws extends the lodging tax. Can I have an introduction? Vicky. Second. Ooh, I have Dewan. Excuse me?
Rude.
No, he was first. I was looking in that direction anyway. A roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Anthony.
Aye.
Descalutti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Saar.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Present DiPietro.
Aye. Okay, some new business. First of all, by the way, Roni, I'd like to see your doctor's note at some point.
Sure.
Okay. New business, council members, anything? Ryan.
So one thing, we had SunCommon came down to do the formal evaluation on the Dock Street garage as well as the area and the reservoir. And part of the challenge that Rob Dooley brought up, and I may want to work with Crystal on this, is looking at that Greenport Solar Agreement. There's language in there that actually may prevent us from doing a rooftop solar as a municipality because of what that block is out on. So I got a copy of it from Rob.
I could have sworn at the time we actually said.
I know we think it made it through to the final. Rob was like, you got to double check. So Crystal, I'll send you a copy and I'll get a call on that. We can go through it. But the viability came back excellent in terms of what it would be mm-hmm. generate to really offset just the use of the water and sewer facilities.
Oh, and that would replace the existing. How would that affect our?
It's because it's dealing with another solar entity.
I know, but does it replace the existing solar entity?
No.
If you're not in
if
it's not, yeah, I would say. Well,
so
okay.
That's why I
want to yeah.
look at Crystal. The
Got
second
it.
Though that came up for it, and we can talk about it later, is structural integrity of the roof of that garage.
So that would replace all of the energy for what building?
That would take
water and sewer
completely offline and be completely self-sustaining based on
for all of that Front Street area.
For the pumps of the reservoir
right.
to the usage of the Dock Street facility, which is arguably the largest piece of city infrastructure.
Margaret, did you have your hand? Did you have your hand up, Margaret, for something?
Yes, just another new business item.
Sure.
So, Crystal, this is really for you. I should have sent this to you, but it was very busy. I was just going through the code for, this relates to the 25 mile an hour limit that we are hopefully going to put in place citywide. I know that you and Dominic, I think, were working on a new law for this. There's just one little section in the code that currently refers to the 30 mile an hour with exceptions for the streets where we put in the 25 mile an hour. So I can send that to you with proposed edits, but I only found one section where we need to update that.
Yes.
It's a very simple edit.
The thing is, Crystal will speak to this in a moment. She's discovered that there are some obstacles to doing this. You want to explain, Crystal?
Sure. So when the new law that was passed, they added a section to it for changing a requirement to it for changing the speed limit. And that requirement is that any changes have to be done within the engineering considerations and specifications that are in the manual for uniform traffic control signals. So essentially, there's a federal manual that's put out, and then there's also a New York State supplement to it. And it does appear that we will need an engineering study to be able to support the reduction of the speed limit. And it's brand new. The language was not in the statute before they put this amendment in.
Crystal, that's painful.
I understand that. And because the statute is so new, there's no interpretations on it, there's no opinions on this. In reviewing the manuals and looking at the statute, I have to say that it would appear that an engineering study would have to be done.
I thought I had seen, I'll have to look it up, but I thought I had seen a municipality that had already acted on this when we moved to 25 mile an hour.
They may well have, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there wasn't an engineering study that needed to be conducted, or that they were trying to do the same exact thing that was the same parameter in public. So, Jeff, if you've seen it, Margaret, send it over to me, and I'll take a look at it, and I'll try to get it to you before you discuss it.
I came across it in the news maybe a month ago. I have to find it again. But, okay, so back to the drawing board. Okay.
We'll get there. Yeah. We'll get it done. Anything else from the council?
Tom, I just had a quick question.
Yes, sir.
So, right now, just today, we had two housing.
Can you speak a little louder, Tom?
Two housing proposals.
Yes.
And we also, there's one already in the works. Are they fighting over the same money from the state? I mean, is someone going to lose?
No, they won't be fighting at the same time.
Yeah,
could you clarify that? Because I think there is a point of confusion around the issue that Dominic is raising.
Thank you.
Oh, come on.
Sure. Both of the funding, I know there's the funding for the depot district that they're going to be applying this fall for that state funding, so we would be going into the next. It would be the spring if everything goes well. So none of the projects would be competing as far as funding.
And I think, yeah, the HHA project is...
Yeah, and that's a total different funding
right.
source.
Yeah.
But as a fund, like in the three-year period, have state or fund three major projects?
They're not the same entity, so they're all not the same.
Oh,
entity.
They're not
yeah,
AC, the waiver?
No, they're not the same.
Oh, okay, gotcha, okay. I thought
when you said
state, they're going to
housing. Well, HCR will be a part of the project with Bliss Towers.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the city's project. It's going to be two different funding streams.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Any other council member questions? I see a question from the public. Ron Kupnicki, please speak.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. My question has to do with the presentation and the issue of items that need to be presented, agenda items that need to be presented at least 24 hours in advance.
They do not.
But I understand you to say that if an item is not going to be, it's not going to be voted on, it doesn't have to be put on the agenda.
That is correct.
Okay, well, I hope that the
if there is no official action, excuse me a second, if there's no official action being taken on a document, it does not have to be presented before a meeting.
Okay, I took a look at the law in question, and it refers to documents, resolutions, etc., that are to be discussed. It doesn't say anything about being voted on.
There's no resolution.
So in my opinion, the presentation, since it certainly wasn't discussed, should have been on the agenda.
Okay. Thank you for that opinion. Anyone else? I'm sorry. Sure.
I think whatever the law is, I'm not going to... personally, I would find it very helpful, if it is possible, to have presentations that are going to be made put into the document folder, because I like to look at things ahead.
But you saw the document already.
Sorry?
You saw the presentation.
I like to look at things before.
I understand
the presentation,
that. I understand.
In part because every presentation I make, I send it out to my clients ahead of time, so that people can take notes on the presentation itself.
Mm.
They can prepare it. They can have their questions ready. And so personally, I would always prefer to receive something like that ahead of time so that I can take a look.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? What's that? I thought I heard that. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This meeting is over. Oh, anyone object?
Yeah.
This meeting's over. Thank you all.
Recording.
Thank you.
Where are you going to the west?